Tonight, guys, we're going to finish up our lesson on prayer and talking about recognizing God's voice. Particularly, we're going to be looking at John chapter 10, verse 27, as well as some others. So when you're looking at your notes page for today, it is two-sided. It looks really confusing, but we're going to just start with the side that says recognizing God's voice. And so let me start with prayer. Heavenly Father, there are so many voices in our culture and our world that are feeding us with information, sometimes true information, sometimes lies, sometimes tactics to scare us, sometimes tactics to lead us astray. But Lord, we pray that you will help us to recognize your voice in all the decisions that we make, in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we proclaim the gospel. Help us today to better understand how we can truly hear your voice when we approach you in prayer. Amen. All right. How many of you guys have ever wanted to hear from God? Right? Like, we got like big decisions coming up, or like, oh man, I don't know how to approach this, you know, conversation with a friend or my parents. You know, God, I need an answer quick, right? So most of us, or at least some of us, have wanted to hear from God. If you haven't, I would encourage you to seek that relationship with him. How many of you ever wondered if what you were hearing was actually God's voice, or if it was just something else? Right? We pray for God's will. We pray to understand God's will. And then when a thought floats into our mind, we're not sure if we're praying for it, if we're just thinking it. Where did that thought come from? Was it from a commercial, or was it from what I read? Was this God speaking to me in some way? Was he guiding my steps? Tonight, we're going to talk about hearing and knowing God's voice. This is kind of the conclusion of our why prayer is so important. Again, we started the summer studying prayer because many of you approached me and said, AJ, if I was to tell you like different areas of my life that I wanted to grow in, prayer would be one of them. And so the first thing we want about hearing and recognizing God's voice may sound like a no-brainer, but it's the most important, right? So in order to hear God, you have to know him. So if you brought a pen, that's that first little blank. In order to hear God, you first have to know him. John 10:27. Does anybody have John 10:27 memorized? It starts with, my sheep listen to. All right, let's flip over to it. John 10:27. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you do. If you don't have a Bible, please come talk to me. I will get one for you to keep. Also, I have loaner Bibles always at the front when you first walk in, and I actually have some up here in the front row too. So always want you guys to know that we have Bibles accessible for you. Did my daughter Katie raise her hand to read John 10:27? I love you. Thank you. All right, John 10:27. They follow me. All right. So if you've never read the parts of the Bible that compare God to being a good shepherd, let me take a minute to explain why the comparison makes sense. All right. Shepherds don't only just lead their sheep, but they also watch out for them, right? They make sure they don't wander away into danger, and they are constantly protecting them from the dangerous predators. In the days when the Bible was first written, shepherding was just not a 9-to-5 job. You don't just clock in at 9, grab a lunch, and then you're done at 5. It wasn't a job where you could clock in and clock out. Being a shepherd was a lifestyle. Shepherds were always with their sheep, and they even slept in the fields with them. Sheep recognized the shepherd's voice because they knew the shepherd. They knew him because he was always with them. Now, let's take a time out for a second. I don't know, maybe sometimes the shepherds were in groups, right? But say you were just a lonely shepherd. Like, I'm just a shepherd, I got some sheep. And I'm thinking about this, like, it sounds to me like the shepherd is talking to the sheep often, right? I mean, you're talking to sheep, that sounds kind of silly, but like, you're giving them guidance, you're going to recognize the voice. And I don't know, as I was studying this passage and studying for tonight, I was thinking, okay, this is kind of funny. Like, shepherds are in constant communication with their sheep. In the same way, if we have a relationship with God, we are like his sheep, and he is our shepherd. So the more time we spend with him, the more familiar his voice becomes, right? So That's the kind of the first point. The more time we spend with him, the more familiar his voice becomes. All right, now I want to do something I think is funny, and I'm going to see if this works with my cell phone. And okay, so I'm going to test out a theory. And who wants to be my volunteer? I'm gonna play for your recording, and you're gonna try to guess the person who it is that's reading this to us. Okay, who wants to be? Okay, I'm gonna let Josh Miller. Josh Miller. Okay, here we go. Oh, wait a second. Wait, where'd it go? Oh no. Oh, did you guys know that if you don't save a voice message, it disappears? Oh, man. All right, this all breaks down. Oh, I should have. Hold on. Dawson Harris, who was one of mine, actually said, hey, don't forget to save this. And I'm like, dude, it's in my messages. Why do I need to save it? Anyway. Yeah.
Don't worry.
I know. Man, my analogies are all breaking down. Maybe we'll have time with the game. Anyway, so he sent me one with a Count Chocula voice, which was great, and then one in his normal voice. The point of it all was showing that for someone that you're familiar with, it's easy to identify who that person is. And it's because you know the people. Many of you guys could tell Dawson's voice out of an entire crowd, right? Dawson just has one of those voices. And you probably would have been able to guess even with him in his Count Chocula voice. But now, do you think you would know Dawson's voice if you've never spent time with him before? Some of you freshmen might not know Dawson, so you might not know his voice, right? But for those of you who have been around for at least a year or multiple years because of middle school, we're able to pick that out. So if you don't spend any time with God, you won't have a good relationship with him. And if you don't have a relationship with him, you won't know his voice. And it's as simple as that. It's also important to remember that God's voice isn't the only one that we hear, right? In fact, everything you allow into your life has a voice. Friends and family have voices in your life. But there are other things too. The books you read, the movies you watch, the social media websites that you scroll through, the hobbies you have, the sports you play. Those are all things that have a voice and an influence in your life based on the time that you spend with them. Now, as I said earlier, the voice that's going to be most audible is the one that you spend the most time with. So let's take a step back and think, wow, what am I allowing to be the loudest voice in my life? I don't have time for this game. All right, so, I don't have time for it. All right, so the closer you are to God, the easier it'll be to recognize his voice. If you spend hours a day playing basketball and only 5 minutes a day praying and thinking about God, who do you think is going to be the loudest voice in your life? The people you play basketball with, right? And who do you think is going to have the bigger influence in your life? Biggest influence in your life? Your basketball team or God? Your soccer team or God? If you want to know God's voice, you've got to spend time with him, and he's got to be your priority. So let's take a look at another verse about hearing from God. And this is in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. I know some of you have this memorized. Please make me proud. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 starts with all scripture. I'm going to let David Cribbs do it.
All right. This is going to be like super fast.
Sure.
All right. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Wow. That's like the end of a commercial fast. That was really good. I always thought that they did that in like 2x the speed, but you just speak that way. All right, this verse tells us a few helpful things about hearing from God. Let me repeat it to you guys slowly. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God or the woman of God or the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. First of all, do you think you've ever heard from God, but you're not sure if you actually heard from him or if it was something else, since you're not really sure if you recognize his voice? The first thing, if you've ever found yourself in that situation, the first thing you should do is ask this question. Does what I think I heard from God agree with the Bible? if it's contradictory in any way, then that was not God speaking or leading you. Remember that the Bible is the word of God, and he will never contradict his word. God's voice will always speak things that line up with what is in the Bible. Now, some of you might be like, AJ, this whole lesson is sounding kind of like, whoo, out there, like you're hearing from God. No, I'm talking about making time to spend with God and slowing down in your prayer life to pray to God and listen. Don't just squeeze prayer in a part of your day. Use prayer as a time to read God's word back to him, to take a moment, pause, and reflect, and allow God to stir up in your heart and in your mind the things that he wants for your life. So have there been things in your life that you just wish you could really hear from God about? Maybe you want to hear about certain lifestyle choices or certain friends, or maybe you're wondering if something is right or something is wrong. Well, it's quite possible that many of the things you want to hear God's voice about, he has already spoken to you about. You're thinking, how is this possible, AJ? How has God already spoken to me about these things? Well, it's in the Bible, right? The most important thing here is that God has revealed in his word to us all matters of faith pertaining to faith and life, right? And so while you're busy trying to recognize if you actually heard God's voice or wondering why God won't speak to you about a certain subject, open your Bible, right? What you're looking for could have been there or is likely there, has been there the entire time. And if you're wondering if reading your Bible is important or not, let me tell you, it is so important. These are God's words, his voice. And I know that you all want to hear from God, and I know that you can. You just need to open your Bible and read it. AJ, we've been hearing that since we were in Sunday school, but it's hard because high school is busy, and it was a lot easier when I was in middle school to spend time reading the Bible because, you know, I didn't have as much homework, I didn't have a job, I didn't have all these friends, I wasn't in a relationship. Like, we come up with all these excuses about why we don't have time to read the Bible. But then we sit there and ask ourselves the question, like, why do I feel so distant from God? Because you're not spending any time with him, right? If you want to know God's voice, you have to do your part. First and foremost, you have to be in a relationship with him, but don't just stop at beginning a relationship. Really get to know God. And that happens through praying and spending time with him, just like you would with anyone else you wanted to have a relationship with. Just said, you have to read your Bible. That's the second point, because God will speak to you through that. If the words in there are important enough that he spoke them, then they're important enough for us to listen to. And that's your part. God may speak to you in many different ways, but more often it will be in a small, subtle way, through a verse that you read in the Bible or through a time when you're praying and listening. It's your job to trust in God. Trust that he's going to tell you exactly what you need to hear, and trust that he will do that in the very best way for you. We serve a very big and powerful God, and he is worth trusting in. Just like the verse says, God's voice will guide you, and we can trust in our relationship with him. Trust that he hears you when you pray, and trust that he will speak to you. So we've talked a lot about prayer over the summer. And something I just want to remind you, it's a two-way street. We've said before that when you pray, you aren't just aimlessly throwing words up into the air, hoping that they get somewhere. You know that God is listening to you. And in the same way, you have to listen to him. You can't expect to hear his voice if you're not listening. So it is so important to put yourself in a position of listening to God's voice. And how do you do that? By making sure that you spend time with him, by getting to know him and his word, and by making sure that there's room in your life for God's voice and God's direction. If you fill up your life with too many other voices, there'll be no room for you to hear God's voice. Who will be the main influencer in your life? This week, I want you to take a look at your priorities and the way that you spend your time. Make sure that you're in a position to listen to God when he speaks to you. God's voice is the most important one of all, so make sure that you're in a position to hear it. And so tonight and each week in your guys' small group, I want you guys to make prayer a priority. I would almost even encourage you guys to make it maybe the first thing you do instead of the end, where we run out of time and we say, well, oh, it's 8:10. Let's pray real quick, and like, because we feel like we have to conclude every small group with prayer. I think it's some weeks we can mix it up, and some weeks we do it at the beginning, sometimes we do it at the middle or the end. But we make time for prayer because we want God to be guiding everything that we do. All right, so this year we are going to do something a little bit different as it pertains to what we're going to be studying. Normally, I choose a book of the Bible, and we go through that verse by verse, text by text, and I think that's incredibly important, and we will always do that for as long as I am your youth pastor, but this fall, we're going to take a little bit of a break and do something I think is super important. Through conversations I've had with some of our volunteer leaders, and through actually conversations I've had with many of you as students, I actually just had a conversation with a recent graduate who mentioned to me that a person at their school, a Christian school, had been going to this Christian school for a number of years, and this person, if you ask them what the gospel was, they kind of shrug, they kind of throw their hands up, like, I don't know. And so I was thinking how much of a failure it would be for us as a church to have a student ministry where people enjoy coming each week and are growing in the relationship with God, but are not able to understand and articulate the gospel, right? The gospel, it is the transforming power of God. And so this, for the first 10 weeks of this semester, we're going to be talking about the foundations of the gospel. And the gospel is the central message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Right? We see the narrative of human sin and failure alongside divine mercy and redemption. I was reading an article this week on Gospel Coalition that talked about that there are numerous studies showing that the single strongest predictor of whether a student will attend church as an adult is their ability to articulate the gospel accurately in terms of grace. Right? We've all heard studies like, oh, 8 out of 10 of you guys won't be in church, 10 years from now. But a big commonality there is they never understood the gospel. So the gospel, in ways, is very simple. In very basic terms, it involves human sin, divine grace, and the work of who? Jesus, right? The definition that we're going to use this semester, that we're going to memorize, is this. All right, guys, look at the very bottom of your page, the Gospel Foundation Introduction. The bottom it says the gospel. Let's read this together. God's grace and redemption for sinners through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, it's very, very simple definition, right? God's grace and redemption for sinners through the death, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this semester, we're going to talk about the building blocks that help make that definition. We want you to not only understand what is, so if I was to ask you what is the gospel, what's the easy Sunday school answer? What is the gospel? The good news? I heard somebody say the good news. Did anybody else say anything else other than the good news? Okay, the good news is typically what we hear, right? What is the gospel? Oh, it's the good news of Jesus Christ. That is true. That is very true. But what is the impact? What else can we build around that so that we have a good understanding? So as simple as the gospel is, there are many building blocks beneath the message. For example, the loving and holy character of God and the reality of sin and the perfect life of Christ, the cross, and so many other things. They're essential foundations of the gospel. And when a person does not know the building blocks supporting that message, they are susceptible to several dangers. So, if you didn't understand the gospel, what would be a danger for you in your life? Danger of believing a false gospel. Yeah, that's that first little blank right there. So, many people use the term gospel when in reality what they believe does not even remotely reflect the biblical gospel, right? I almost feel like I almost would have heard an amen back there from Bryce, right? There are so many, and this is something he's so passionate about. This has got to be in everything that we teach. And the fact, there's a great sermon by a guy named Paul Washer that I think that plays to this very well, and I'll probably send it out in a future email. But many people think they talk about a gospel, but they it doesn't reflect the Bible. They may live with a false sense of eternal security or share a false message with those who need the saving grace of Jesus. The second danger of not understanding the biblical gospel is that you're not able to enjoy the peace and the joy and the hope that comes through the gospel. The gospel should give us a supernatural comfort and joy, knowing that Jesus has brought us from darkness and death to light and life forever and ever. We have all become adopted children of the living God and live with the Holy Spirit in our hearts. These truths of the gospel should give us gladness and peace in our hearts. Last danger is of not being transformed by the gospel. If we truly understand the implications of the true gospel in all its fullness, it should change our lives in many different ways. It should make us want to share that good news with others. It should make us want to obey God's word because we now live in a personal relationship with him. We should be able to endure and tolerate suffering for his sake. But when people do not understand the full gospel, their lives are not transformed in these ways. So again, our very basic definition of the gospel is, read it with me, God's grace and redemption for sinners through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very basic definition of the gospel. So thinking of the gospel in categories, so the goal is the gospel is just not the first four books of the New Testament, right? That would be another easy Sunday school answer. What is the gospel? The gospels are the first four books, but the gospel message that we just talked about, God's grace and redemption for sinners through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is in every book of the Bible. And that's what I hope that you guys are going to be able to see. So we're going to be, the gospel could, in some ways is very narrow, in other ways it's very broad. So as we walk through this study this semester, I want to give you some categories for when you're reading the Bible on your own. And whether you're going through, like this month of August, we're going through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Just a chapter a day, 5 days a week, you'll get through all of those letters in the month of August. And so thinking of the gospel in these categories is actually going to help you in your own study of the Bible. So we can think of about gospel events. These pertain to the events that comprise Jesus' saving work, right? These are the things that we're reading about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And also include the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost as we see in Acts. The gospel message, this refers to the message and the word of the gospel that we proclaim. People may use different phrases and terms, but at the foundational level, the gospel message always includes the proclamation of good news, the need of sinful man, the grace of God, and the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we can see that gospel message in and throughout Scripture. We can also see benefits of the gospel, right? We already talked about being adopted as God's child and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Hope of heaven, those are just to name a few. We wouldn't say that these realities are the gospel itself, but they are benefits that flow out of the gospel. Also, it's important for us to see the imperatives. It's important to distinguish the word of the law from the word of the gospel. The gospel entirely and exclusively focuses on the work of Christ and what we receive by grace through faith, period. The gospel refers to a one-way, no-strings-attached gift from God, completely apart from human performance. The gospel brings us into a relationship with God. As a result of that relationship, out of the worship of worshipful gratitude for what Jesus has done and for who he is, the gospel inherently compels us to live a life of obedience to God's word. It compels us to want to share and to suffer for Christ. So, why does a study like this matter for any of us? Well, hopefully I got your attention with some of the dangers, because I think that's why it matters to us. But I think that it's just so clear for you guys to see that God is moving history in a redemptive direction and to an appointed end. A theme of our post-Christian world that we live in is that mankind and the world do not live under a cohesive or a purposeful narrative. There is a belief that there is no higher plan or a meaning for life. But through the study this semester, and hopefully for all your years to come in high school, you're going to see that as we look at every part of Scripture, that even the prophecies about the Messiah and the age to come demonstrate that, in fact, God is writing a narrative for the world. We see validation of that redemptive narrative in a fixed plan when Jesus lives, dies, and is risen as the prophets foretold. This also validates God's total control in bringing about redemption. He calls his shot. He says, I will restore my people and take my promise of grace to the nations. So through Christ, he does exactly that. And he demonstrates his sovereignty. I hope you guys will see the unity of God's word from Old Testament to New Testament. Some of you guys might think, oh, I'm just going to read books of the New Testament. It's shorter. It's easier for me to read. I can see, I can connect some of those dots. Hopefully, through this study, you guys will start to get an appreciation of how it's one common theme throughout all of Scripture. And then you'll see fulfillment of prophecy validates that Christianity is absolutely true. All right. So what's the plan? All right. Well, for the next 10 weeks, we're going to look at 10 different passages. They all revolve around this page over here that says gospel building blocks. These are also your memory verses. See how this is all coming together now. So we've got some gospel building blocks that are centered around some passages. Within those passages are a memory verse. And so we are going to look at those passages to show how the gospel is the central message and how it needs to change our life. Now, one thing we're going to do is each week I'm going to have a building block. So building block number one, a holy and loving God made us to live in blessed relationship with him. We're going to see that next week. We're going to see in Genesis how the gospel message starts in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to use this as an inductive Bible study, meaning that I'm going to provide to you guys a week in advance some questions for you as you spend time in the Word. Maybe you use one of your days in the week to say, hey, I'm gonna look ahead of time at the passage we're going to be teaching through. This is going to really help have the light bulbs go off, right? You're not just going to be showing up on a Sunday night being like, oh, this is the first time I've ever read this passage or ever heard this passage, that you've read it. You've tried to come to some of your own conclusions, and then hopefully we'll fill in the gaps, not only my teaching, but also your small group leaders who are working very hard to disciple you guys as well. Some of you guys might be like, AJ, some of these words are very churchy words. I don't understand the definitions. I've heard them used. Hopefully this semester, I loved a teacher I had in high school who, you know, on a regular basis, even high school and college, he just give us words and definitions and have us repeat them back. So hopefully by the end of the semester, you guys are like, oh yeah, I know what this means. So we're going to take things slowly. It's going to be an interactive study. So as I'm asking questions and walking through the text, you guys will be able to provide me with some feedback, knowing that that you're trying to draw your own conclusions and being vulnerable with your small group leaders and your classmates that are in that group, just saying, I was lost. That's okay. That's kind of how discipleship starts. I also want to just show you guys or tell you guys that this study, I'm hoping, will provide you with clarity on some real life issues in your life, how the gospel helps us when we are struggling with self-reliance or need for accountability or helplessness, or that we're control freaks or that we feel inadequate. There's a number of things that you guys are facing each and every day as students. And so I want you guys to be able to see how the gospel truly does change everything. So that's a little bit of a glimpse of what we're going to be studying this semester. On the back here, you see week number one. I would encourage you guys, keep this in your Bible. Try not to lose it. I'll give you guys a new note sheet next week, but bring it with you so that you'll be able to talk through some of the things that you found. But also, you're going to want to hold on to this because of the gospel building blocks page. Just reasons you want to keep a hold of that. All right, let me pray, and then I think I have time for maybe a short game. All right, Heavenly Father, it's so convicting to be up here sharing with people how they need to slow down and listen to your voice. Lord, I'm guilty that I just schedule my life out to the last second, and I oftentimes don't give you enough time. I present requests to you, but I don't wait for an answer. And Lord, I'm sorry for that, and I pray that each student here will, even in the midst of starting a new school year, will make prayer and speaking to you and making time to listen to you a priority. Lord, your word says that the gospel has the power for salvation to everyone who believes. So Lord, I pray that the gospel will be clearly understood, not only so that we don't fall victim to believing a false gospel, but Lord, that we can share confidently the greatest news that this world has ever heard. Help us this semester. Help us to build relationships that are going to inspire us and encourage us to grow. I pray for each of these students that as they enter the classroom, that they know that you're with them. Lord, if they don't yet know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that even today, that they will know that today is the day of salvation and that our life is just a vapor. It's a mist. It's so short in the grand scheme of eternity. But what we do now impacts where we will spend eternity, whether it is under the wrath of God because of our unbelief, or if we get to spend eternity worshiping you in heaven forever and ever because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. So Lord, I just pray that today you'll stir in the hearts of those who have not yet believed, that they understand their need for a Savior because of their sin, that they trust that your work on the cross is complete. It is finished, and you did all that work on the cross on our behalf because you love us. So Lord, be with us tonight in our small groups. We love you and we thank you for life. Amen.